here, as opposed to what I did do and what God did in the last year. It's just a really tough time for me to really think that through. But God wants us to remember his love, his support, and to have hope as we face the new year ahead. And so that's the focus of my devotional message, whatever. Depends on how long it is. If it's 20 minutes, it's a devotional. If it goes a little bit longer, it's a message, but whatever. But he wants us to look at this new year with hope. excuse me. In Psalm 94, verse 17, it said, unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. And then a little further down, but the Lord has become my fortress, my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. And that's really, I mean, this kind of plays on the heels of what we did with worship this morning. And, you know, we pick out those songs. We have one practice a month. So we pick the songs out before the month even starts. And I didn't look at what Stephanie had planned. I had the list somewhere, but I didn't look at it as I was preparing this message for you. I just really felt like God wanted to inspire and renew our hope as we move into this new year. In Psalm 97, verses 10 through 12, it says, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Now, I want to remind you that during our identity series, we learned that Jesus' sacrifice makes us righteous. So when this says, rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name, he's talking to all of us. There's nothing that we can do that makes us righteous. It's only his sacrifice that made us righteous. In this verse, it also reminds us that rejoicing in the Lord is a big part of getting this victory. Okay? when we worship, it brings us to the place where he can show us who he is, where he can demonstrate to those around us what he's about. When the Israelites went to war, very often the worship team went first. They were in front of the army because they were setting aside that time and that place for God to prove himself and to be victorious and to show his victory. And when we are singing songs of high praise, we are exalting him above everything that is around us. So often you won't hear us singing songs about, what I feel or all of that. You're going to be hearing the worship team most of the time. We're going to be singing songs that exalt the name of the Lord and recall to all of us the attributes of the Lord. They recall to us how great and wonderful he is and reminds us of the things that he has done for us. So singing those songs exalts him above everything that is around us, above the things that we see as mistakes or omissions, above the condemnation of religion and judgment of unworthy sources, because condemnation does not come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, but not condemnation. Condemnation is tied to shame, and Jesus went to the cross to bear our shame. So we don't have that anymore unless we pick it back up again. When Israel's, all right, so John 16 says he is to be our judge. He does not bring condemnation. He brings conviction in order that we can repent and change direction. Repentance does not mean we just feel bad about what we did. Doesn't mean we just regret what we did. It doesn't mean that we have remorse because we got caught. Repentance means that we decided to actually make a turn and go back toward where the Lord has us going. His faithfulness. Faithfulness is the fact or quality of being true to one's word or commitments, to what someone has pledged to do or professes to believe. And often we, in Christian circles, we talk about having faith, have faith, have faith. And for me, that's a little bit hard because I feel like my faith isn't that great. But I can have faith in his faithfulness. I can believe that he will do what he has said he will do because he does not disappoint. God is faithful to keep his promises. He's faithful to give us hope. He's faithful to be there with us. The word says that we can't be separated from him, no matter whether it's in a mountain, across the sea, east, west, no matter what, we cannot be separated from him, from the love of the Lord. In Romans 3:3, it says, what if some do not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Not at all. His faithfulness stands. His blessings are new every morning. His promises do not fade. Anything he has promised will come to pass. It may not be in our time, but it'll be in his time. And sometimes that's hard. It's hard to wait for his timing, for it to be time. We have to wait, and that's hard. Hope. Hope is the feeling that what you want can be had, or that events are going to turn out for the best. It is to believe, desire, or trust, to place trust in, or to rely upon. We can trust in the Lord. We can rely upon his character to do what it is he said he would do. Psalm 42:5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 62, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to this? For if God is with us, who can be against us? That means that even we can't screw it up, okay? I mean, you know, sometimes we sort of step back from stepping out and saying or doing the thing that we feel like the Lord is putting upon our hearts to do. And I am one of those people that is, I don't like making decisions. And years ago, Margie Stevens was here and she spoke to the women and she said that she learned to make a decision and live with it. So I've tried to do that, tried to make a decision and live with it, but this is one of the things that I remind myself of is that no matter whether my decision is the right decision or not, no matter whether my prophecy is fully from the Lord or not, I can never screw it up bad enough that he can't fix it.
That's right.
There is no way for me to screw it up bad enough that he cannot fix it. That's right. As long as I am open to allowing him to move in my life. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Genesis 22 tells us about Abraham and how he believed God. He took Isaac. God told him to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And he went up on the mountain. And the servants said, "Where's the sacrifice?" And he said, "The Lord will provide." And he got to the point where he was ready to take Isaac's life. And when he was almost ready to do it, the Lord said, "Stop." And then he had provided a sacrifice, a ram caught in a bramble. Gideon, I love the story of Gideon. Oh, sorry. I totally love him. The story comes from Judges 7, but Gideon believed that God would provide victory, and God did. He told Gideon he had too many soldiers, so, you know, he sent home those that were afraid. 22,000 left. And then he said, "You still have too many." So he had them go down to the water and drink, and those that cupped their water and drank out of their hand, he kept, and the rest of them he sent home. So he ended up with 300 men to fight this entire battle. But God had a plan, and God knew what he was about. And the thing is that Gideon believed God would win the victory, not that the men would win the victory. Because, well, and he was put in a position where he kind of had to believe that, right? Because he only had 300 people, and there was a lot more of the other army. And then God confused them. You know, they broke open their pots, and they held their torches out, and they blew the trumpets. And when they blew the trumpets, God confused the army, and they killed each other. And then the ones that were left, Gideon chased them. He and his army chased them, and he invited some of the other tribes of Israel to chase them down and get them out. And my iPad just went off. Whoops. David, I love David. He believed that God would defeat Goliath, right? This guy was huge, like bigger than Adam, Pastor Adam. Like, he's a big guy, you know? And like David was maybe, you know, he was young, you know, he was a teenager kind of age, but he wasn't very old. So think about Sam trying to take out Pastor Adam, okay? That's kind of what it was like. But instead of using all of the things that Saul gave him, wanted to give him to try and protect him and everything else, he's like, "No, I'm just going to take my slingshot and my rocks, and I know God will make the victory." And he did. Elijah prophesied to a valley of dry bones. And the Lord said to him, whenever he was, when this was happening, he said, "Can these bones live?" And Elijah said, "I don't know, Lord, but you know." And so he breathed upon them, and they took life. They pulled together. They became living people again. And it was a huge army. And a lot of times we think about that whenever we think about dreams that we have had that we wanted to see happen, that we feel that the Lord maybe have prophesied over us that this was going to happen, but it hasn't happened. And it feels like dry bones. But God can breathe upon those dry bones and bring them back to life. He gave hope to those who were living in exile from Jerusalem. In Jeremiah 29, the first verse said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." And he goes on a little bit, but verse 11 is the one that we all know. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans for me to give me a hope and a future. Plans for each of you to give you a hope and a future." Whether we're wrestling with our own giants, could be a giant of finances. It could be a giant of mental health issues or physical health. Or if we're asked to sacrifice something we love. Now maybe, you know, you love to, love to binge watch Netflix or something. I don't know. You know, and he maybe asks us to give that to him as a sacrifice. Whether we're asked to believe in the impossible, whether we're asked to believe that Nancy's going to walk again without anybody's hands. Okay? We may have had dreams that have died and lie in that valley of dry bones. We might be facing a fight that seems impossible. I can tell you that as a teacher, there are times that I feel like I'm facing a fight that seems impossible, because there are a lot of different pieces that go together to have a plan work for a kid, for a student. Sometimes we feel like we're exiled from our families, our friends, or our home for whatever reason. God wants us to remember that His faithfulness is everlasting. He is faithful to His promises, and He wants us to rehearse His faithfulness. Back to Romans again, it said, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." So as we rehearse back over those things that God has done, you know, Abraham, Was he the one of altars? He was the one of altars, right? Jacob was the wells. So Abraham made altars at different places that God met the need. And so when we think back over our lives, there are times when God met a need in ways that we had no way of knowing. I know we've shared the story before when Becky was sick. And she was 2, and she had scarlet fever, but we didn't know it. And we needed to take her to the doctors, and we had a copay. And we didn't have the money for the copay, but we knew she had to go to the doctors. And went to the mailbox that day, and Kristen Wickard sent us $25, and it's just what the copay was. And the mail in Lima takes longer to get to you than it does around here. Okay, yeah. It's definitely not like Carlisle. You know, so God had that timing set, you know, so that it came right when we needed it. You know, and we were up there, we were living on faith up there. You know, I went up to interview for a job, ended up getting the job about a week before we went up, or 2 weeks before we went up. Then we moved up there, and then Steve got a job up there. I never saw a man sweat through jeans so that they were soaked. But that's what happened when he worked for UPS, because he was unloading tractor trailers and bringing the boxes in. And then, did you reload tractor trailers too? Did you reload them as well? Your second job, yeah. So, but he went into work at, well, you know, it's really kind of weird because he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning now on Mondays and Thursdays to go to work. But, you know, he was at work at what, 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how he did that. I'd have to just stay up. I couldn't, I mean. You know, but God was faithful. He provided us with health care through the Teamsters, because he was a union member when he was working for UPS. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had any kind of health care for the girls. And Becky was 2, and Steph was 4 when we moved up there. The Lord just provided for everything that we needed, everything. So even when we don't have faith to believe, He's faithful. We need to remember it's His faithfulness that we are believing. He's faithful, and we can grab onto His faithfulness, which never fades or disappoints. So as we look into going into this new year, let's remember He does have plans for us to prosper and not to harm, to give us a hope and a future. I would like to have us listen to and just sort of quietly worship to Same God.